The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to In Flight Running, the radio show with your host, Coach Michael Merlino. Get ready to run strong and go the distance with expert run coaching advice to take your running to new heights. Whether you are just getting started with the sport or ready to shoot for a new personal best at any distance, we have something to offer runners of all skill levels. On your mark, get set, go! Here is Coach Michael Merlino.
Hello, TGIF, and welcome to the new In-Flight Running Show, episode number 4. I'm your host, Coach Michael Merlino, and I'm a Houston, Texas-based running coach and fitness trainer. Today's show is sponsored by our friends at Run in Texas. Run in Texas offers a full menu of over 20 fun off-road races across the great state of Texas. Check out their upcoming May races, including the Texas Flower Country 5K, 10K in Fredericksburg. That's on Mother's Day weekend, May 9th. And the one I always look forward to, the Houston Nighttime El Chupacabra Trail Run. That's a 5K, 10K on May 30th. That's north of Houston in New Caney. For a full line of Run in Texas races, check out their full race calendar at runintexas.com. A few show reminders, guys. Today, you can check out, or anytime, you can check out our previous in-flight episodes or gain access to future shows or replays by subscribing to the show by way of a podcast. You can do that on iTunes for Apple users or Stitcher, the Stitcher app for Android users. Just search for In-Flight Running. You can like our Facebook page at facebook.com/In-Flight Running or follow us on Twitter and now on Instagram at In-Flight Running. All right, so let's get going today, guys. We got a big, big show today. So let's go over what we got planned and get right into it. Today we're going to be talking about the most famous race in the world, the Boston Marathon, through the eyes of three runners who have reached the finish line. Two recently, as recent as this past Monday, another guy who did it about 10 years ago who's got a pretty exciting story there too. So during this first segment, we'll kind of review the results, kind of tell you what happened at the Boston Marathon at the pro level, and then we'll be joined by two of my in-flight running runners here who ran Boston this Monday and have them tell you all about it, okay? During the third and fourth segments, we'll be joined by an old friend and KG running veteran who unexpectedly got a chance to pursue a lifetime goal and reach Boston in 2005. So we'll talk about that. And so today is really all about dreaming big with your running, never giving up, and you know, just being kind of that whole Boston strong mentality that you guys have probably heard about here recently. So let's get going. I want to go over some history of the Boston Marathon real quickly. Kind of set the stage for you. So let's just talk about that real quick, kind of paint the picture for you and on why this race is so nostalgic and why it's such a big deal for runners. So this goes back to Greek days. The roots of the race are from that inspirational Greek legend Pheidippides, who is said to run about 24.8 miles from Marathon to Athens, thereby the name Marathon, to deliver the news of a military victory against the Persians. The beginning of the modern-day marathon actually started with the Boston Marathon back in 1897. After experiencing the spirit and majesty of the 1896 Olympic race, Boston Athletic Association member and inaugural U.S. Olympic team manager John Graham, he was inspired to organize and conduct a marathon similar to what he saw at the Olympics in Boston, guys. So that first marathon closely modeled what Pheidippides did. The route was a distance of 24.8. What Pheidippides ran 24.8. He knocked it down to 24.5, and they ran that. Of course, later, you know, that was changed to 26.2. So on April 19th, 1897, John McDermott of New York emerged from a 15-member starting field and won that first Boston Marathon in 2:55:10. Not too slouchy for back in 1897. So that's how it all started. It's the most prestigious race in the world. It requires very fast qualifying times by age group. and gender just to earn a spot on it, you know, even though a lot of folks can get in other ways through charity and other means, okay? So the truth of it is most, a lot of marathons in this world won't get to the Boston Marathon. It's that tough to get in, so really tough. And you can see now why in 2013, when we experienced the Boston bombing, it really angered the whole running community, and you know, because that was really probably the most sacred piece of running ground probably on planet Earth that was attacked. So you can see why people were really upset about that, and that's where this whole Boston Strong movement came from. So anyways, that's about it. I just quickly want to go over what happened this past Monday. This was the 119th running of the Boston Marathon. It's always held on Patriots Day, the third Monday of April. Last year, Meb, now he's just known as Meb, Meb Keflezighi, won it, first American to win it in 31 years. This year, he jumped out to a quick start last year. This year, the other guys were smart to that. They did not relent, and they went out with him. They wanted to make sure that Meb wasn't going to get away from him. So both the men and women's race were pretty tight. Ethiopia's in the men's group, Lalisa Desisa, won in 209.17. He repeated his 2013 Boston when he won during the bombing year, and he actually donated that medal to the city of Boston in honor of the victim. So I have a feeling this one he's probably going to keep. So he won it. The women's race was down to the wire. Last 200 meters, Kenyan's Caroline Rodich just took off flying, broke the tape at 224.55 and won it. Americans fared well, considering Desiree Linden got fourth, Shalane Flanagan ninth on the men's side. Dathan Ritzenhine had a breakout race. He's the guy you want to watch in the future. He got seventh, and Meb was behind at eighth. So that's kind of the recap there. So let's kind of get back to everyday mortals here, okay? Those are the pros. And why is Boston so special? So after that, you know, the question is, why is this such a big deal to runners? So I'm not going to talk much further on that. I'm just going to let our guests kind of tell you about that from their own experience here. So through their eyes and what they've experienced on the course. So first guest today is Stina Fredrickson. She is an independent consultant in the U.S. pharmaceutical industry. She's a native of Denmark. We've got a pretty international group in our group here, running group here in Houston. Her family moved here to Houston in 2009. Her husband finished the MS-150 bike race in Houston, so she was pretty inspired by that, decided to start running. It's like we all do. We just kind of built up on the miles, 5K, 10K, building up those long runs. She just felt it just gave her renewed energy as a busy mom, so she got into running. After weeks of running a few miles, she started building it up, and she kind of realized, you know, I think I want to do this marathon thing. So she seeked out a training group, and she ended up with our group. Thank gosh we got her on our team. She completed her first marathon in Houston with a very respectable time of 3:52. She came up 23 seconds shy of a Boston marathoner, a qualifier on her second attempt, when she logged a 3:40.23 at Houston. So that's tough, 23 seconds off. But she didn't quit. She kept rattling off sub-3:40s. Her personal best was Chicago, which was 3:30. And then just this week, she reached the promised land, and she went to Boston and finished with a time of 3:37.40. Okay. Second guest today, I'm going to just go over his bio, and then I'm going to bring all these guys on at once, is Josh Solera. Josh is the manager at McKinsey, a management consulting firm, and spent a lot of his time on the road with business. So that's added kind of more of a challenge to his training, just finding that time he needs to get the miles in every week. He started running in 2011 as a way to maintain his weight loss that he already had lost from just doing pickup basketball games when he was in business school. So he ran his first marathon in 2012, didn't train well, got injured, got an IT band injury, but he finished. So he was pretty excited about that, and he wondered, man, if I really train hard for this, how well could I do? And so he kept moving on with the journey. He found in-flight running, has been training with us for a few years now. He's kind of a city boy, so he's hit the major races, big-time races, Houston, D.C., just like, kind of like Stina, Chicago, Los Angeles, New York. And he completed Boston this past Monday. His personal best, 3:49 in Chicago, and he just completed Boston at 3:55. So they're both joining us now, guys, live from Houston, Texas. So Stina and Josh, welcome to the In-Flight Running Radio Show.
Thank you, Michael.
Great having you guys on, and I'm so thrilled about, I was like a kid in the candy store on Monday, tracking you guys online, you know, looking at your times and your splits. So it was great when I saw that little running man, that virtual running man hit the finish line, and you guys were done. So let's get right into it. I'm going to start with ladies first here, Stina.
Yep.
I know you've been running for a few years now. You know, you've logged some great race times. I mean, for a beginner, you really did well. I think it's the Danish blood, though, you know, probably helps. But yeah, what made you decide to step it up a notch and shoot for Boston? I know you had done some marathons. You'd had a lot of success. What made you just want to amp it up a bit and just get to Boston?
Yeah, so I think, you know, my first marathon was just a great experience of figuring the whole thing out. It's kind of science to run a marathon nowadays, and there's so many things out there that you need to take into consideration. And after my first marathon, at that time, I was actually only 7 minutes off my qualifying time for Boston, and a lot of my friends and running environment were like, hey, you know, that was pretty good. You can certainly go to Boston if you keep doing this. Then I had a couple of years, you know, with injuries and just had to find the healthy runner in me. And then, as you also mentioned, my third marathon was 23 seconds off. And that's just being too close. You know, you put so much work into it and you get so close and you're nearly there. So I decided to at that point then to change my training. At that point, I was logging a lot of miles, but it was kind of at the same intensity. So what makes a big difference for me was I put in some speed work, some tempo work. I went to the track and I did 400 and 800 meters and all that stuff with a one-to-one coach. And that basically did it for me. And I ended up cutting 10 minutes off, and I qualified with close to 10 minutes off qualifying time.
I think that's a missing link, you know. It's like, and it's, you know, I talk to some of the old timers, and they tell me stories of what they used to do to train to get qualifiers. And I think a lot of us just aren't as hungry as we used to be with running. And you know, you learn probably pretty quick. I mean, you got to do some gut wrenching workouts to get ready for Boston. You know,
you do.
I mean, they're tough. You know, because you have to run faster than you normally do and practice that over and over to get a qualifier. So exactly. I know early on you got involved with a training group and you ended up with us, but how do you think the group aspect of training has helped you reach that ultimate goal of not only getting to Boston, but finishing Boston?
Oh, the running group is everything. In distance running, you have to log so many miles every single week. I will say during the week, I can open my door and I can get it done, you know, up till 6-8 miles. But the long runs during the weekend, it's hours of running and the support by other runners. You're not running fast, so you can still hang out with your friends and talk and chat. It just makes the difference. So you actually sometimes really look forward to your long runs because you know you're meeting with a group and you're going to have a lot of fun. So, and then just the support. For my first couple of marathons, you've just felt like the group was holding your hand from the first 10-miler till the 22-miler to the start line to the finish line to the party afterward. So I will say for any long-distance runner, find a group, and every group has all different levels, so don't be intimidated by signing up with a group. I was very scared the first time I joined InFlight, but then you realize, hey, they run us at all levels, so everyone is welcome.
Yeah, I always say, you know, 5K, 10K, you know, you can roll out of bed and do that, but when you get into long distance running, it's truly a team sport, really, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'll tell you what, hold that thought. We're going to go to a break. I'm going to bring you back and wrap up with Stina, and then we're going to talk to Josh a little bit, so let's take a quick break here. Quick reminder, guys, you can join our InFlight Running's free running newsletter. You can text InFlight to 22828, or you can go to our website, inflightrunning.com, and sign up there, okay? When we return, we'll continue our conversation with our 2015 Boston Marathon finishers. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Have you been struggling to lose weight, get in shape? take your fitness to the next level or train up for that next big event or race? Maybe it's time to hire a professional to help you build that momentum you need. Fitness trainer and running coach Michael Merlino can help you get back into the fitness game with results-driven programs focused on your health and athletic goals. Michael offers a wide array of services in the greater Houston area, including one-on-one and group strength training sessions and walking and running training programs to help you train for everything from a 5K to marathon level. He also offers metabolic testing, corporate wellness, lunch and learn sessions, and more. Live outside of the Houston area? No problem. Michael will soon be offering online fitness and run coaching services no matter where you live. For more information on Michael's programs and fitness services, check out both of his websites at merlinofitness.com and inflightrunning.com. You may also email Michael at info@merlinofitness.com or call him at 713-523-2577. Don't just race, run off the beaten path with Run in Texas. Run in Texas events take you on running adventures in great Texas destinations and reward you with good food, great beer, a post-race party, and t-shirts you're proud to wear. Run in Texas events happen all over the Lone Star State, from moonlit beaches to wooded trails, vineyards to microbreweries, and DFW to South Padre Island. Run in Texas has one goal, to create great running events in the coolest places in Texas. So don't just race, run in Texas. Check out our race calendar at runintexas.com.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media. Can you keep up?
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
You are listening to In Flight Running with Coach Michael Merlino. We want to hear from you on today's show. Call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you're not near a phone or listening on demand, send us an email to info@inflightrunning.com. Now, back to In Flight Running.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Coach Michael Merlino, and you're listening to In Flight Running. We're back with our 2015 Boston Marathon finishers, Stina Fredrickson and Josh Solero. So let's continue that conversation now with Stina. We are talking about training and building up to the, you know, getting ready and qualifying for the Boston Marathon. So I want to continue with that, Stina. Once you got that qualifying time, what major changes did you put into play now to train for the race? I mean, I know you talked about getting there. You implemented speed training, but once you got that qualifier, then it's like, man, now I got to get ready for this, like the biggest race in the world. So, what was the mind shift or shift with your training once you flipped that switch and said, okay, game on, I got to get ready for Boston.
Yeah, so you know when you go to Boston that all the other runners that are out there are strong runners. They also qualified, so they're fast, right? So you don't want to get behind them all. So what I had done through my whole, this was my sixth marathon. In the first couple of races, I kept things simple. I trained flat, I raced flat. Then I put another thing into it. Then I went out of town, so the flying and the hotel and all that. And then last year, I did the Marine Corps where I added the hills. So Marine Corps and Boston are kind of on the similar, you know, You have to go out of town and you need to take health into consideration. Despite that you live in Houston, that is completely flat.
So yeah, 100 feet above sea level, flat as a pancake.
Yeah, exactly. So the main challenge for me compared to other marathons was the hills and the downhills. The downhills actually ended up being more challenging to me than the uphills in the race as it progressed. So I had to identify parking garages. I had to identify areas of Houston where you had some sort of rolling hills for your long runs, had to find, you know, small hills where I could do some of my speed training. So that was the main thing I had to change for Boston. Otherwise, I kind of tried to keep things the same way for each marathon I trained for.
So adding that additional terrain, you know, you knew you needed to get through that race. Yeah, that's tough. It's a lot of rolling hills in there. What were your fondest, now that you've run Boston, you can compare it to these other major races you've run, like Chicago, which I know was your best, but which is flat compared to Boston. What were your fondest memories of running the Boston Marathon, things that happened on the course or just experiences there where you think, man, I've made it to the promised land. This is like different. This is a different show.
Yeah, you just kind of feel it right when you step off that plane in the airport. You're just surrounded by runners, you're surrounded by this atmosphere, the whole history, that uniqueness of the race. It's not just the runners or the volunteers and the coordinators. It's the entire city that is on their toes that weekend, and you feel it wherever you are, at the hotel, at the airport, on the streets, at the finish line, at the expo. It's an amazing feeling that I haven't felt that strong at any of the other marathons I have participated in. And my friend kept telling me about this jacket. You know, you need to get the jacket. And I was like, what Boston jacket? Oh, look at it. But you realize when you get up there are 30,000 very fit runners, and they're all wearing the same jacket. Some of them wear a jacket from previous years. But it just adds to that atmosphere that everyone is walking around in the same outfit. It's kind of cute. From the actual race, I will say what made it very unique for me was actually three things. First, the ride out there in the school buses. So basically, you jump on a school bus at the finish line, and it takes you all the way out to the start line. So you run straight back into Boston. And sitting on that school bus, I realized how far you actually have to run. Not that I don't know, because I've done it a number of times before, but it kind of made it more visual. That long trip on the bus just made it, wow, that's a long way back to the finish line.
It'd be like driving a Clear Lake, and then you have to run from Clear Lake back home to the inside the loop.
Normally you just make a big loop, but here's just one way. So it kind of illustrated how far it is. Then, you know, as coming from Houston, I was very worried about the hills, and I knew that the hills was from mile 16 to mile 22, one of the most critical parts of the race. And I remember coming to mile 22, and I was so relieved, and I was so happy, and I felt so good. And it was just that unique moment in a marathon that I will never forget. And I felt, okay, I'm strong. I can keep going. I just need to go downhill to the finish line now. And
then that must have been great.
You run with all these amazing runners. They are just as strong as you. They're running at the same pace as you, because you start with the same qualifying timers as you are yourself. And we got in closer and closer to Boston, and the spectators, there were more and more spectators, and we do the final turn on Boylston, which is the street where the finish line is. And you turn that corner, and you see that finish line in the distance, the blue and the yellow colors, and thousands of spectators. And you're just in that zone, and you realize, wow, this is it. I did it. And you kind of get these flashbacks from all the years of hard training, all the miles you have logged week after week after week while you go down that last 0.2 mile. That is probably the most special finish of a marathon I've ever had, and I'm not sure if I'll get one as special again.
Yeah, that may be the biggest. let's shift gears, guys. I'm going to shift over to Josh now. I want to get his take, because he's got kind of a Boston connection. It's kind of interesting. So, Josh, I know you've been kind of chipping away. You've had some good times yourself. You know, you're pretty new to the sport, and you're a young guy. So, as you know, you've got to get some crazy numbers to qualify. But I know you took a different path to Boston, but not by way of a qualifier, but you got in another fashion. But what made you decide, even before getting a qualifier, like, man, I just want to get to Boston and do it?
Yeah, I actually lived in Boston for 5 years and really saw the spirit that Sina was just talking about that the city has. And I used to go out and watch and just kind of fell in love with the race. And as you mentioned in kind of your intro, I weighed a lot more and never thought
I can't imagine 50 pounds on you, bro.
imagine that. Well, I couldn't imagine running a marathon, much less the Boston Marathon. And you know, over these past few years, as you said, I've gotten faster. I'm nowhere near the 3:05 time, unfortunately. So really wanted to get back there and had this amazing opportunity. I just had to jump on it.
It's kind of weird. It's like the whole circle of life thing, you know? Like when you're in college, you probably have never thought you're running a marathon. Here you go. You're back where everything kind of started.
Yeah, you know, it was really back to the future in multiple ways. I mean, so I lived three blocks away from where the bombs went off when I lived in Boston. And that, so it was emotional for a whole slew of reasons, obviously. But getting back there, seeing friends, going to a Sox game, you know, going and getting to wear the jacket, right? I remember those jackets that Steven is talking about, and I always wanted one. And anyone can buy them, but it feels really weird because so many people come up to you when you're wearing a jacket. So I never bought one because I didn't feel like it was real. And this time I got to buy one and wear it, and kids and people all just wishing you luck all around the city. It was incredible.
Wow, see, I didn't think you could buy, you know, because as an old geezer, I'm trying to get there myself. I'm hoping this will be my year, but. I did not know that. I thought there was a special type of jacket that only you guys could buy, you know?
That's
been interesting. That doesn't sound fair to me, man. You guys should have your own jacket, you know?
I think it's unspoken that no one else buys the jacket.
It's kind of like I told my 10-year-old, we ran 5K last week, and he wanted to put the race shirt on. I'm like, no, that's superstitious. You don't put the shirt on until you earn the shirt. You don't run it during the race, you know? Kind of same thing, so. I know, every race is kind of an emotional one. You know, anybody who's running marathons, man, every race is a little bit different. It kind of plays out a little bit different. There's a different vibe to it. You finished the Boston Marathon Monday. So, like, Steen, I know you've done some of the majors. How would you say Boston compares to those other race experiences? Because you've done really all the majors. I mean, L.A., all the biggest cities in the country. And I know you're thinking about some international stuff. But how did Boston compare so far with those other marathons you've completed?
I mean, Steen already went into the kind of support of the city, which is truly remarkable. One. Two, as you know, I started talking about the personal connections I have to the city, to actually get back there, to be where I used to be on the sidelines and be where the bombs went off was super emotional. And there's just something, I mean, I remember expressly kind of going down the hills after mile 22 and just thinking, I'm going to finish the Boston Marathon. I don't remember ever thinking that for any of the other races I ran. There's just something really special about it, and just saying, wow, I completed Boston. It's truly remarkable.
Was there any one thing, because I know with every race I've done, there's always some crazy thing that happens or something that just, it could be a particular person that's cheering for you, or it could be any little thing that gives you a kick in the pants. Was there anything along that course just fired you up, where you're just thinking, there's just no way I'm going to quit on this one?
Yeah, well, so I have a good friend, Gail, who actually has run Boston the last, I think, 4 or 5 years with the Liver Foundation team. And she wasn't running this year, and so she found me just before the hill started, and just went absolutely crazy and started sprinting after me. And it was, you know, that was just so much fun, because, you know, she's yelling at me, and seeing her out there and going up the hills and frankly, training hills not easy, as Dina mentioned. So got up the hills pretty well, and then you start coming down heartbreak after heartbreak. And going through, for me, I thought Boston College was just incredible. Those students come out and are just rowdy and high-fiving, and just they do a great job. And you're going, you know, you've picked up the pace probably a minute to 2 minutes on your pace just going downhill.
I know, and you always hear about Wesley. Was it Wellesley
College? Wellesley.
Yeah, but I've never heard the Boston College take, so that's kind of interesting, huh?
Yeah, the Wellesley girls are great too. I think it's just probably where they are. Wellesley, I think, is around mile 13. Still in pretty good shape there. And by mile 22, you're just you really appreciate all the support.
So, guys, I gotta wrap it up in about a minute. So, just tell me quickly, what's next? I would imagine if it was me, it would just be kind of like, because I know marathons are kind of, and it's weird. You guys get this, but it's sad in a way when you finish a marathon. It's like this emotional high. I remember when I ran, you ran New York the same time I ran it last year, and with all that crazy wind and everything, and I'm walking back like some homeless guy with a cape on, going back to my hotel room, and I just thought, it's over. You know, that's that runner's letdown. And then when you come off of that, you kind of get your sea legs back and you kind of think about what's next. So what, just real quickly for both you guys, what's next on the agenda for you guys now that you've completed Boston?
Well, for me, Michael, I'm going to take a break and think about it a little bit. But, you know, I'd love to, you know, as you said, I'm a city guy. So I'm thinking maybe international, maybe going and checking out Berlin, somewhere flat with great
flat crowds. Is nice. Yeah.
Flat is nice.
Cool. And what about you, Stina?
Yeah, I'm with Josh. I think I want to go flat for a little while, too. It's just hard to get those hills in here. And as Josh just said, take a few weeks just to settle in and enjoy the moment and, figure out what to do. But I'm certainly motivated to get back to the group and train for something. I just need to define what it is.
But there's many ways to skin a cat, you know? And the big thing is you guys trained hard. You got there different ways, but you got there and you did it. So I'm really proud of you guys, and I'm thrilled that you guys are on my team here in Houston. And I just want to thank you for your time today, because what this show is going to be all about is getting everyday people like you guys sharing those experiences, because there's a lot of people sitting on the couch right now that need to be experiencing even a little piece of what you guys did in Boston. So I want to thank you guys for being on. I'm going to let you go right now. So take care, guys. And please, by all means, next time I see you, I want to see that medal. So bring it,
because
all the peeps are wanting to see your medals now. So I'll let you guys know, go right now. So thanks again to Josh and Stina, two of our rock stars in our group. Let's go to a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Luis Gonzalez, who got the opportunity to run the Boston Marathon in the most unexpected way, linking his past with his dream of a Boston finish. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Don't just race. Run off the beaten path with Run in Texas. Run in Texas events take you on running adventures in great Texas destinations and reward you with good food, great beer, a post-race party, and t-shirts you're proud to wear. Run in Texas events happen all over the Lone Star State, from moonlit beaches to wooded trails, vineyards to microbreweries, and DFW to South Padre Island. Run in Texas has one goal, to create great running events in the coolest places in Texas. So don't just race, run in Texas. Check out our race calendar at runintexas.com. Have you been struggling to lose weight, get in shape, take your fitness to the next level, or train up for that next big event or race? Maybe it's time to hire a professional to help you build that momentum you need. Fitness trainer and running coach Michael Merlino can help you get back into the fitness game with results-driven programs focused on your health and athletic goals. Michael offers a wide array of services in the greater Houston area, including one-on-one and group strength training sessions and walking and running training programs to help you train for everything from a 5K to marathon level. He also offers metabolic testing, corporate wellness, lunch and learn sessions, and more. Live outside of the Houston area? No problem. Michael will soon be offering online fitness and run coaching services no matter where you live. For more information on Michael's programs and fitness services, check out both of his websites at merlinofitness.com and inflightrunning.com. You may also email Michael at info@merlinofitness.com or call him at 713-523-2577.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
You are listening to In Flight Running with Coach Michael Merlino. We want to hear from you on today's show. Call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you're not near a phone or listening on demand, send us an email to info@inflightrunning.com. Now, back to In Flight Running.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Coach Michael Merlino, and you're listening to In Flight Running. We're back with today's discussion on dreaming big, thinking big with your running, and talking about the Boston Marathon, how a big event that is in the running community worldwide, nationwide and worldwide. So let's continue and bring on our next guest now. So our next guest today is Luis Gonzalez. Ironically, I met Luis way back, I'm gonna put a circa in here, circa 1979. I was a teenager. I just moved to Houston from the great state of New York to the great state of Texas. Luis was the father of one of my best friends in high school, Greg Gonzalez, and they lived down the street from me in a Northwest Houston neighborhood. Luis is now 71. He's retired after working 32 years in the civil engineering field as a technician. At the age of 45, and I witnessed this, he looked in the mirror and he didn't like what he saw. He had gained some weight. He just didn't feel, he didn't have his mojo, man. He didn't have, you know, he just wasn't in the best shape. So he decided to do something about it. He started walking, jogging, eventually running. So he signed up for a neighborhood race, a little 2-mile, almost like a cross-country style race. And from that point on, he was kind of hooked on running and racing. He kept up this training, like us all that have gotten to the marathon level. It starts with a little seed, then it becomes a few miles and what we call jogging, and then you come into your own and you become a runner, 5K, 10K, half marathon. He ran his first marathon in 1988 here in Houston. He ran his personal best marathon time of 3:30 at the age of 49, but unfortunately he fell short of his Boston qualifying time by about 5 minutes at the age of 49. So he continued running marathons, didn't give up, kept on this quest to get to Boston, get the qualifier. He ran about 25 marathons, 10 of which were right here in his hometown of Houston, Texas. So in 2004, he decided to qualify for the last time. He's like, okay, this is my last hurrah. I'm gonna try to do it here. But he was slowed down by an injury and he had to stop his training. So in that same year, Houston Chronicle running beat writer Roberta McGinnis, herself a Houston runner, got wind of his story and his mission to raise money for the Boys and Girls Clubs of America through the Houston Marathon's Run for a Reason program. And she inked an article on his story and his quest to Boston that had just fizzled. So somehow a Boston Marathon official in Colorado read the Chronicle story, and through a strange twist of fate, he called Luis and offered him an honorary bib into the 2005 race, saying, "You deserve to go to Boston. It's on us." So you can imagine the thrill. And I know Luis, he was going to take that one to the bank. So he healed up, trained hard, took advantage of that generous offer, and fulfilled his lifelong dream of running and finishing the Boston Marathon in 2005, which ended up being his one and only Boston Marathon and his last marathon that he's run and probably will ever run in his lifetime. So that's the way you do it. You go big at the very end, you know, like these pro athletes that retire on the upside, not the downside. So the irony here is that the organization that prevented him from getting in trouble as a kid, Boys Clubs of America in Waco, Texas, he was now raising money for, and ironically, that allowed or opened up that door for him to fulfilling his lifelong dream. So like a lot of things in life, guys, things come full circle, which is really cool. So he now lives in the Houston area. Luis, my old friend, welcome to In-Flight Running. Great to have you on the show, man.
Thank you for having me.
I feel like talking to you today, I feel like I'm Michael. We're watching that Michael J. Fox movie, Back to the Future, you know, and we're getting a time machine. going back to when I knew you, and then fast forward to now, but in between there, kind of sharing your whole victory lap here on how Boston just miraculously got kind of thrown into your lap. So let's get right into your Boston story, man, because I gave everybody the precursor there, but I want to hear it straight from the not horse's mouth, the runner's mouth. So we'll get right into that. So I know you were out of shape. You know, what was it that you decided, man, I just want to use running to get in shape? I mean, you could have done Stairmaster, which was hot back in the 80s. There's a lot of other things you could have done, but you decided to run. What was the thinking behind that?
The thinking behind that, I would say, is that I love to be outdoors. I like nature and, you know, the sun rises in the morning. I'd get up real early in the morning and do my runs, or the sun sets late in the afternoon, which really turned me on. You know, I just love nature. And, you know, you get to do this running early in the morning before all the crazy traffic starts coming and people start getting up, and you already done your run. So basically that's it.
Plus it's so hot, man. You know, there's no way around it. You're going to have to be a morning person in Houston,
exactly.
Texas.
I learned.
Yeah, it doesn't take long
in
that one.
You have to you run early in the morning or late in the afternoon.
Yeah, cool. Okay. So what I always say, my sport is what your sport does for punishment. You know, when people tell me, why do you run? I'm like, well, it's, you know, my sport, running, is what your sport does for punishment, meaning running is a part of every sport. So at what point did you shift from running becoming kind of this very labored thing, like, oh man, I got to go for a run, I'm out of shape, I don't have my wind, to, you know what, I'm really starting to like this, man. I mean, I'm really starting to like this running thing. Was there a turning point where you kind of thought, I like doing this. I actually like getting up in the morning early and knocking out some miles.
Yes, I think, yes, the turning point for me would be when I had some friends that I could run with, and we started to do track workouts and things like that. So basically I gained my speed and my endurance for running. So that was, enabled me to run longer distances. So
yeah,
I was really excited about that. And I think that's what did it.
Kind of like Stina hit on, you know, I always say it to my runners, guys, what's cool about running, you can do it on your own. You can be a loner with your running. But when you get into long distance running, you better find some buddies, because you don't want to be knocking down a 22-mile training run by yourself.
You're right. Yes, yes. You cannot do it on your own. You cannot.
It's a group sport.
Yeah. It's tough. It's a lot harder.
So I know you ran a lot of marathons in hopes of earning that qualifier, you know, and, you know, I know a lot of people that have been in your shoes, you know, that didn't quite get the chance that you did to run it. I know you got close on one occasion. Now, you know, you missed that one BQ. In the running business, we call Boston Qualifier, we just shorten it, call it a BQ. But when you missed that BQ by 5 minutes, I'm like, man, you heard Stina's story. She missed it by 30-something seconds.
I know. Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible. 5 minutes is close, too.
I feel hard.
Did you feel like quitting at that point? And if not, like, what made you want to push forward and just keep on this quest to try to get closer and get that Boston qualifier?
No, I didn't feel like quitting, because I felt like I was at my prime right at that moment. And you know, I could see the light at the end of the tunnel, so I couldn't give up. I had to keep pushing, and I did. But you know, things didn't work out. I got injured, and I was hitting the wall. Like at mile 15 and then mile 10. So,
oh, wow.
I knew then that...
you're just breaking down somewhat during the races.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
I'll tell you what, man, hold that thought. We're going to continue our discussion here in a second. I just got to take a quick break. So for more information on In-Flight Running's Houston area group run coaching programs, from the 5K to the marathon distance, check out our website at inflightrunning.com. When we return, we will wrap up our conversation with Lewis and give you my final thoughts on why everyone should dream big with their running and shoot for the Boston Marathon. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Have you been struggling to lose weight? get in shape, take your fitness to the next level, or train up for that next big event or race? Maybe it's time to hire a professional to help you build that momentum you need. Fitness trainer and running coach Michael Merlino can help you get back into the fitness game with results-driven programs focused on your health and athletic goals. Michael offers a wide array of services in the greater Houston area, including one-on-one and group strength training sessions and walking and running training programs to help you train for everything from a 5K to marathon level. He also offers metabolic testing, corporate wellness, lunch and learn sessions, and more. Live outside of the Houston area? No problem. Michael will soon be offering online fitness and run coaching services no matter where you live. For more information on Michael's programs and fitness services, check out both of his websites at merlinofitness.com and inflightrunning.com. You may also email Michael at info@merlinofitness.com or call him at 713-523-2577.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at vapresspass.com. That's vapresspass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
Don't just race. Run off the beaten path with Run in Texas. Run in Texas events take you on running adventures in great Texas destinations and reward you with good food, great beer, a post-race party, and t-shirts you're proud to wear. Run in Texas events happen all over the Lone Star State, from moonlit beaches to wooded trails, vineyards to microbreweries, and DFW to South Padre Island. Run in Texas has one goal, to create great running events in the coolest places in Texas. So don't just race, run in Texas. Check out our race calendar at runintexas.com.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to In Flight Running with Coach Michael Merlino. We want to hear from you on today's show. Call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you're not near a phone or listening on demand, send us an email to info@inflightrunning.com. Now, back to In Flight Running.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Coach Michael Merlino, and you're listening to In Flight Running. We're going to wrap up today's discussion talking Boston Marathon with Boston Marathon finisher Luis Gonzalez. So let's go back. Luis, you still there with me?
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, great. Let me go back. We were talking about, you know, specifically how you got involved in running and kind of how you just barely missed the qualifier. So I want to get into the meteor story here. Going back to Boston, I know there was a, we kind of mentioned at the beginning, Houston Chronicle reporter did a story about your quest for Boston, the relationship with that and the fact that you're raising money for Boys Clubs of America. That year, and even though you were injured, you were going to continue on that mission to raise your money. So how did that whole, just kind of let me know how that whole thing transpired where the Chronicle got a hold of the story, and by some crazy miracle, you end up getting a call from Boston, and you got yourself a bib or a ticket to Boston Marathon to 2005.
Yes, I think it happened when I was running in a group, and Roberta was part of that group, and we did our long runs together. So, you know, when you run long distance, you have like an hour or 2 hours of running together. So everybody tells little stories about this and that, and I know that I mentioned my story about telling them that, hey, this is going to be my last one, and no, I'm going to give it my last shot. I know it's probably not going to happen, but that I was really happy that I was going to you know, run for the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Houston in a charity run. So, you know, I told them if I did qualify, I felt like I was helping, you know, the Boys Club,
yeah,
like they helped me many years ago. And
yeah,
so I think that's how she got a hold of the story and printed it out. And as it
so you
happened,
just get this call from a like a stranger that was tied into the marathon. How'd that? So you just get this call and this guy offers you a bid, right?
Really, Michael, what happened was I thought about that, and what happened was a week later, after the maybe a week later after the story was printed out in the newspaper, Roberta called me and she said, "Lewis, do you want to go to Boston?" I said, "Well, I was thinking, well, I guess I could go as a spectator. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, well, what's going on?" She said, "Well, I got a call from this gentleman that is in Colorado. He's affiliated with the Boston Marathon, and he told me to get a hold of you because he says he thinks that I deserve to run the Boston Marathon." So wow. Then I think I just kind of fell out of my chair, and I told my wife, "You know what?
Made your hotel plans that next day."
Yeah. So that was really crazy, man. I couldn't. At first, I think, am I dreaming? Am I going to wake up from a dream or pinch myself that she said that someone was letting me in? So I was really excited.
So I bet after you got over that injury, you had a little step in your stride after that one, huh?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and so then so just getting right into Boston. Because I'm going to wrap it up in about a minute here, but just you made it there miraculously. So when you ran that course, I mean, what do you remember most? I mean, a couple of our runners have already shared their opinion about that and how it's special, but what do you think, what's so special about Boston? What did you experience when you were there in Boston on that race course where you think, man, I have made it. I've made it to the promised land of running.
Yeah. I think as we all know, the Boston is the granddaddy of all marathons, you know. And just to say that you ran that, you say it with pride when you tell people, your relatives and stuff, you know. And they also are, "Oh, you ran Boston. Oh, my God, you did?"
Yes.
Yes, I did.
Even people that don't run know what Boston Marathon
exactly
means.
Exactly.
You know?
Correctly. That's true. They think that when you say you run a marathon, they always refer back to Boston. They said, "No, you can run in Houston, anywhere." But yeah, so
it's the one that counts. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So,
I'm just curious. I ran into you. Literally ran into you at a race. You were out there watching, like I was. I was coaching and watching. Are you still running? I mean, I know you're not doing long distance, but are you still using running as your exercise right now? I know you're 71. Are you 71 right now?
Yes, you know, I really am. And you know, Michael, the good thing about it is that I entered a race half marathon about 2 months ago, and I came in first, second, and third. I was the only one in that age group.
Wow!
So, that's why.
Did you get three pieces of hardware for that, or no? Just one?
Yeah, no. I was just kidding about that.
That's cool. Okay. Well, hey, I've got a lot of people in my group that have become half marathon specialists now. You know, they're over the marathon and they're just doing halves and 10Ks now. So yeah, that's good. I'm glad you're still running because you know, I mean, I know once you got over there, got to Boston.
Sure.
I mean, it's the best way to stay in shape and keep your shape, as you know. So
you bet.
All right, man, I got to let you go today. So I want to thank you, my friend, for being on the show today, sharing your experience. I've always heard the story from Greg. I saw it in the Chronicle, and I remember going, "Hey, man, I know that guy," you know. And one of these days, I got to get together, and we got to catch up over lunch. So I appreciate your time today. So I'm gonna let you go right now.
Okay, and I want to thank In Flight Running and you, Coach Michael Merlino. Thank you so much for letting me be on the program.
Well, it's a pleasure, my friend, and I'm really proud of what you did, and I'm glad you got that chance because that's like a blessing from God right there. So,
okay,
take care and tell your wife I said hi.
I will do that.
All right, take care, my friend.
Bye-bye.
That's Lewis Gonzalez from Houston, Texas. Pretty amazing story there. I love telling stories of everyday people like you guys are out there just pounding the pavement and getting ready for all these races and having a fun time doing it. So Lewis is one of those guys. He's a staple in Houston. Call him Mr. G. And I run into him, literally run into him in the weirdest places in town. So, so just to wrap it up here, guys, speaking of training, if you're looking for a training program, you guys heard the benefit of being with a group. Our in-flight running group kicks off our marathon, half marathon season. This will be our 11th season here in Houston in May. So we've got open registration on that for going on now. So looking for a group to hang with here in Houston and get ready for that next race, by all means, go to the website. That's inflightrunning.com. We've got a brand new website launch. It's going to hit in early May that I think you'll really love, regardless of where you are in the world. Okay. If you're outside the Houston area, realize that we're going to soon have online coaching where I can actually do a Skype call with you. I can do one-on-one coaching with you specific to what you want to do. We can do that over the internet. So I'm going to be launching that this summer. For more information, once again, go to inflightrunning.com. If you want to join our newsletter, you can text inflight, that's all together, inflight to 22828. Okay. All right, so we're going to wrap it up for today, guys. Thanks for tuning in. I hope today's show got you fired up about thinking big and possibly planting that Boston Marathon seed inside you, okay? Not everyone can get there, but it's good to dream and think about it and maybe work towards that. So remember, it's always a good day to start a running program, take your running to the next level. Thanks for tuning in today, and I hope you join us the next time on the In-Flight Running Radio Show. Have a great weekend, and as always, dream big and run strong. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to In Flight Running with your host, Coach Michael Merlino. Be sure to check us out again next Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a great weekend and run strong.